Hello and welcome back to Golden Raven Games. This is our Monster Hearts one shot, and we're having a very good time with it. Before we get started, I will invite you to join us over on The Actual Place. That is our Discord server where we love to chat with our One Shot Mondays fans. We also have a Patreon. If you are interested in hearing more of our voices, you can find that in our show notes. We highly recommend it. We have a whole other show for you to check out with over 90 episodes. We also have our original flagship show, Thornvale. And I feel like now that this is on a different thing, I should probably mention that here. Go check out Thornvale. That's also linked in the show notes. With that, Wesley, you want to go ahead and bring us back into it?
Yes, I will bring everyone back into this. And we had left on a rather interesting ending the last episode. The three main crew plus their entire cabin have been brought to meet with someone that the head counselor, Mr. Geist, referred to as the Builder. This is the creation of your totems. If you recall, the Builder has looked around at all of you and said, "Shall we begin?" And now she is going to turn, and she walks around to, remember I told you this scene, it's very dark. This is after the events of the last challenge you guys had, and this is a clearing in this forest, and there is a table between these two trees. She walks around behind the table, and you are all gathered there in front. Before I continue, would anyone want to make a roll to possibly perceive anything or not?
I mean, Maldenithrax is definitely trying to pay attention and just take in like what's going on here. You know, we've never been part of this before. We've probably heard about it at our years at summer camp, but you know, this is totally new and it's been super secretive. So I think he's definitely trying to see what's exactly going on. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're looking, Mal, I will say that you, I'm not going to make you roll for this. There's torchlight over most here. And you see on the table what appears to be different materials. You're seeing what appears to be pieces of metal and leather and wood blocks and possibly even, are those clay? Is that a small potter's wheel at one side of it? You're not sure, but it looks like you're seeing crafting materials on this table.
Okay.
And the Builder, standing behind the table, begins. "It's always important to remember where you came from, to know your roots. Take this place, for example. Anyone ever heard the names Mary Shelley or Bram Stoker?" And the head turns, looking at the group, and you look around, you see some people raising their hands. Probably you three would have too, because of course, these are two of the most well-known authors
in
the world, right?
I'm even remotely educated.
Yes.
That's true. That's true. And the head nods. She says, "Well, this place, it would not exist without them. You see, the world knows them for their stories. Stories they wrote on one winter's night and on the grounds where the big house now stands. But they were much more than storytellers. They were, like us, citizens from a different world and hidden in plain sight, even hiding in the stories themselves. They crafted their totems right here, just as you will do tonight. Choose your materials, your shape, and your mark. I will answer any other questions you might have along the way." And she gestures, sweeping to the table, for all of you to come forward and to inspect the materials.
One question I have that might be like an out-of-character thing, but do we know, like, as a monster society, like what these totems like signify or do? Like, do they do anything, or is it more of like a symbolic thing?
You would know. You've heard the term totem before. You've never crafted one yourself. This is a big deal. But you three would know that the totem is it's more of a sort of symbolic kind of cementing yourself to your ancestry, your heritage. But in some cases, if the connection is strong enough, can result in a possible boons for your monster self in the future.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm looking for nature stuff.
Okay. So you, I will give you. Since I already told you guys this, you'll be choosing three things. You'll be choosing the material you're making your totem from. You'll be choosing its shape, as in what is the ultimate going to look like. You know that everything traditionally could be something like a piece of jewelry, or maybe even just like a rough figurine or a token, or it's entirely up to you. And then the mark is the last part. The mark is where you actually forge the connection, which is, it can be a symbol of some type that is meaningful to you. So you said you're looking for nature-related things. I will say that you, Ivy, you find a very nice selection of wood blocks that seem to be cut and polished from probably some different trees that you would be very familiar with.
So I grew up in a tree. I'm okay. Looking for something that's made of the same material.
Ah, okay. Then I'll say that, you know, for reasons of the game, I'm not going to have you roll for this. Now I'm curious, what sort of tree did Ivy grow up in?
I think Ivy grew up in a pecan tree. A big, ancient pecan tree. Pecan, if that makes certain people happy.
Either one. Yeah, Among the wood blocks, you find what appears to be a very well-polished, but you can tell, very old block of pecan wood. And you see a whole range of implements there to carve it. I'm assuming you begin carving the shape out of this. What shape is Ivy going for?
I'm gonna make a little statue that's also a tree.
Okay. Figurine of a tree. All right. I'll come back to you in a moment as you are... it's not like you're half blind when doing this because the torchlight is cast very brightly over this table. And you see that everyone has dispersed choosing their materials. I'm going to ask Mal, after hearing this, you approach the table. What item, what material are you choosing?
What are some options, or is it pretty broad?
It's very broad. You've got leather pieces. You've got wood blocks, like I mentioned. You've got metal. You've got what appears to be a fire and coal forge set up in this clearing,
okay.
Which means you could actually smelt something down, perhaps.
What kind of metals do they have?
If you approach, you see, much like the wood section of the table, this is a big, very long table. Between these two trees, the space is very broad. You see what appears to be bronze. You see some kind of polished black metal that looks like... it looks like iron, but it's not exactly iron. It's something else. You're not entirely sure what metal that one is, or you definitely do see silver and gold as well. They are not scrimping on this.
Okay.
This is very important.
I think that I think Mal's gonna turn to the builder and he's just gonna ask, what kind of metal is that? And he's pointed at the black, almost iron looking metal, but not.
They approach you, and the head tilts down towards it and turns to you. You hear the voice say, "Not many choose this. Would you believe me if I told you that that was dug out from a star itself?"
So that's some special metal, very rare and different.
Well, it's not as if you could mine this from the ground. It didn't even come from this planet, so.
I think that's perfect for one such as myself. And he's gonna pick up the bar and start kind of like weighing it and thinking about what he wants to do. And
okay.
He's still talking to the builder, and he just says, "You don't mind if I use my own fire, do you?"
"This item will be connected to you in a very important way. If you have the means to affect it in such a way, which I know you do, young Maldenothrax, of course." And she nods to you, but she does point to the forge and say, "As powerful as yours is, I would recommend using conventional tools for the actual formation."
He waves his hands and he says, "Oh, I plan to light the forge with my fire, but my scale should be enough to help me mold it. I imagine that if I'm a fire dragon, I know it's not really a move in my playbook or anything, but I imagine I'm not going to burn myself, so."
I will give you that. That would make no sense.
Yeah. I just like the idea of molding this with my own body, so.
All right. And do you have any idea of what is the shape you are going for? Is it going to be like a necklace or a ring or
whatever? Yeah, it's going to be an amulet, so I'll take like a leather cord at the end to tie it on with, but I think it's going to be I think that my family, all dragon families have like a crest almost, like a draconic crest. So I would be shaping this draconic crest, you know, out of this star metal, basically.
All right. We're gonna leave you there for a moment. We're gonna go over to Eddie. Eddie, you have approached the table and you're looking at this wide array of objects. What is drawing your attention?
I know everything I want to do down to the symbol I want to carve into.
Okay.
I'm waiting for this.
Okay, let's just start at the beginning. What material are you going with?
I am looking for wood to carve, but it needs to be wood from an apple tree.
I will say that you do find a very nice, smooth block of apple wood. And what is this shape you are aiming for?
I am going to be carving this piece of wood into a chess piece. It's going to be the queen chess piece.
Okay, so you know, and all three of you have chosen.
Has anyone caught on to what I'm doing yet?
Yeah, I haven't, because I don't know Twilight.
Okay.
I believe I'm familiar, unfortunately.
Do you want to say it, Anna, just so...
No, we could just slowly reveal
you
it.
You want to leave all the uninitiated like me, just kind of like knowing that it's Twilight, but not understanding? Okay, it's fair.
Okay, and so as this continues, I'm going to have each one of you, I'll go back to the beginning here, I'm going to start with Ivy. As the time goes on, your totem begins to take shape, this small figurine of this tree, and when it is completed to your satisfaction, and of course, this takes significant time, but as you're holding this in front of you, in this moment, as you are, you believe this has been completed, you're turning it this way and that way in the firelight, you start to feel a sort of an odd sensation. It's almost like on the wind, you're hearing the sounds of flutes and pipes and just forest sounds and laughter, but they seem to be louder than a traditional forest. And in this moment, you close your eyes, and I will need you to roll me a gaze into the abyss.
11. This is a -1. I rolled boxcars.
Nice.
That is very nice.
Finally, I rolled well in this game.
Okay, on that full success, yes, you can choose two out of this list. You're going to see a vision. You can choose two out of them, which is... 10 and up, choose two. The visions show you what you must do, and you carry one forward to doing it, or the visions cure you, removing a condition, or... Oh, the others are 7 to 9. So, I have an idea about this, but...
The first one is the visions are lucid and detailed.
Yeah.
Yes, which is what I was going to give you in case you had... Unless you had a reason why you'd prefer the other one.
No, obviously, I would like a vision.
Your eyes are closed here, and... all of a sudden, you think you've opened your eyes, but in actuality, you are still standing there, stock still. But what you appear to be standing in a woodland glade, and there's this a great party happening all around you. You're seeing what seems to be a great number of the court here, and you look ahead, and in the center of this clearing, there is a throne, and in this throne, it is not your father. It is someone who you might not recognize, but you have heard stories of. You know this Fae. He is he was, I should say, a very powerful, very kind, benevolent Fae. And he, as you're standing there, he gestures to you to approach.
I do.
He calls out and he laughs. He says, well done, young Ivy. I knew one of your family would be the next to take on this lineage. Guard it well, and know your place in the court and in your own life. I know you lack in your confidence, but through trial, errors, fire, and storm is when we know we become strong to face the world as it will come against us. You must remember this, Ivy. Yes? And he's looking at you very earnestly.
I'm looking befuddled, I shrug.
And he kind of laughs again, and he says, I know this might not make sense in this moment, but when it matters, you will remember. He raises a hand. Whoosh! You are all of a sudden, again, conscious, standing there in the clearing. And with that full success, your connection to your totem has been completed. Congratulations. So.
Yay. I am befuddled.
Hey, you want your character to be befuddled? She's befuddled.
Okay. My normal state in life.
All right. I'm going to go around to Mal. You have been forming this. And what is the shape of this you were aiming for, or the mark you were placing on it?
Yeah, so what I did is, you know, I brought the metal over to the forge, put it in the forge like to start melting it down, but used my own fire instead of the forge fires. And then I poured the molten metal into my own hands to try to like form it, you know, and kind of scratch into it and kind of make, you know, with my dragon claws, the shape that I want to make.
Okay.
And it's kind of like it's a rough kind of stylized version of a dragon's face, kind of like turned like on profile, like looking to the side, but it's intentionally very rough, and like, you know, the lines are kind of straight and they kind of make like jagged sharp corners. It's not a very smooth looking piece, but he is going for exactly what the symbol looks like, and it's my family crest,
family
basically
mark. Okay.
Yeah.
And I will need you to roll me a gaze into the abyss.
Do you mind if I roll real dice, or should I roll in the thing?
If you would like to roll real dice, that is allowed.
I'm just, I was looking at it, and I usually don't roll real dice, and the times I did roll in here, I only had one success and the rest were failures, so I'm going to say that real dice are better for me in this game, hopefully. That is a 7 by the skin of my teeth. I was hoping for a full success. I'm very sad.
Ah. Well, on the 7 to 9...
I thought it was cool that I made it myself, but it wasn't enough, I guess.
The visions are confusing and alarming. They are lucid and detailed, but they leave you with the drained condition.
I actually kind of like the idea that maybe I'm, like, overexerting myself to make this connection, so I like the drained one. Does drained mean something specific, or is it kind of like an ephemeral thing?
No, it's basically, I read it as it's up to the GM's discretion what that might manifest as.
So I'll just add drained.
But yes, you as you're holding this roughly formed piece in your hand, your eyes close a moment, and when you open them, you seem to be standing in a rock cave, a cavern, and in front of you, you see, like, you're standing there, but in front of you, filling most of this whole place, is this enormous red dragon. And as you look, his eyes open, and he lets out this laugh, but it's like, it's shaking the whole room. He goes, well, if it isn't Maldenothrax, we've finally made it.
Do I know this dragon?
You know that this is an ancestor in your own from your own family from many, many years
okay.
ago. But this particular dragon was the one that, because your family is rather old, but this was one of the first ones that rose to prominence as far as, you know, a name to be feared, basically.
Mm-hmm. In dragon society, yeah. Okay. Or just in general.
And in general, but especially like among other dragons, which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at you and smiles, his teeth are shining through, and he says, you had quite the ambition when coming here, did you not?
Well, of course. I wouldn't be part of this family if I wasn't.
That is what I like to hear. Good, good. And how well do you believe this has been accomplished? Tell me of your deeds. And you don't have to roleplay this out, but he wants to know your story, basically.
He's definitely talking himself up as how he's trying to, you know, lead his cabin to victory, you know, and kind of take that leadership role. You know, he's talking that up.
He's appreciating this. He's liking it. He's like, ha, ha, ha. Well, seems like you are leading them well, and but that is not all that you wish, is it, boy? There is something, or someone? Yes? Tell me. Tell me who?
Well, she's a very beautiful fey princess.
Ooh, aiming high, aren't we? Well, I will give you, if I might give you a bit of advice, boys. Whatever the case might end up being, be careful. They can be a bit, slippery.
Wouldn't be fun if she wasn't.
He laughs again, and he says to you, he says, well, I know it is within our own nature to take what we wish, which I am not asking to forsake, of course not. But do your family proud, and do her proud, should you go after it.
I'll do nothing less.
I look forward to see what will become of you, Maldarathrax. Tell your father I said a hello. All of a sudden, boom, you are returned, and you return to yourself, but this was a rather intense moment for you when you're coming back into your own body, and I think you might even fall to your knees at the forge because you are feeling terribly exhausted. It feels like you've just flown a great distance, you know, run a marathon, swam a river, something like that.
Yeah. I think he's trying to play it off and, like, not let it be seen, you know? He'll mutter himself, like, huh, I might have overdid it a little bit there.
I will move to Eddie crafting his chess piece. I will need Eddie to roll for a gaze into the abyss.
It's a 10.
Wow.
That's even with a minus one.
Okay. Yes, you are carving this this chess piece, and as you're turning it this way and that way, you close your fist around it, and oddly, you are hearing, you begin to hear the sounds of fluttering on the air. It sounds like an entire flock of something coming towards you, getting closer and closer. You open your eyes. You're standing in a castle throne room is where you're standing. And at the very end of the throne room, you see this richly upholstered throne with someone sitting in it, and you hear this loud, loud voice call to you. Come, boy.
Eddie will walk forward.
This person, you don't recognize them, but they are clearly another vampire. You see a long...
It's Count Chocula.
Way to just rob the moment, Hannah.
I mean, could it be anybody less?
Well, actually, yes, because, I mean, he is like a celebrity in vampire society, but no, not...
Count Chocula?
Oh, I heard Dracula, not Chocula.
I said Count Chocula.
Okay, I just misheard. I thought, okay.
The vampire after which the mascot was patterned, I should say, not the mascot.
Okay, so Dracula is a celebrity, not Count Chocula.
Yes, not to say that this is Dracula himself, but this is a what seems to be a very high-ranking vampire. And you see, he's sitting in this throne, and he's looking at you in your suit and your hair and your everything. He kind of raises an eyebrow, strokes his chin, and says, "So, you'll believe you are worthy to carry the name Vampire."
I don't know how I'm supposed to respond to that. I think he just says, "Yes, I am."
There's more to being one of us than flashy cars and hair, you know.
Yes, there's moral questions about which lives to take and which ones not to. And I choose not to, which is why I feed on animals and don't stoop to the lows of killing just anyone that crosses my path.
You say this, and you mentioned the part about feeding on animals, and he looks at you very strangely. I knew I had been gone a long while, but my. Well, I suppose times change, so we must, but if anything, I shall allow this in order that I might see what, if anything, you may become. Go. It will be a pleasure to see. Or perhaps not. It's entirely up to fate, I suppose. He just waves a hand at you, and you, all of a sudden there's a rushing, and all of a sudden you're standing there again in the clearing. Your totem has been completed, but you're getting the sense that he was not overly impressed by you, but he is... he let you go just for the fact of This is an odd person I've never encountered before. Let's see what happens. As you all are there, you have all completed your totems. Before I jump to the next scene, is there anything you guys want to do in this moment?
I think I'm probably just sitting, like, contemplating my little tree.
You're contemplating the tree. What about Mal?
I think Mal is trying to, like, act tough, so to speak. He's trying to, like, pretend that he's not exhausted. So he just kind of saunters over to Ivy, and he just says, how'd yours go?
Oh, it was weird. I don't know. I think I talked to, like, some old faking, I guess. I don't know what he was trying to tell me. It felt like he was trying to tell me something, but I had no idea what it was, but...
An ancestor, maybe?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I talked to an ancestor.
Oh, that's cool. Was he nice?
Well, he seemed impressed, supportive.
Oh.
I'd say so.
That's good. What'd you talk about?
And he smiles a little bit. Oh, you know, important things. And he's kind of like looking at you knowingly.
I look confused.
Well, we talked about the future and becoming what I want to be.
Oh, I didn't say anything to my...
Oh.
Do you think I was supposed to?
I mean, they didn't tell us we had to do anything, so...
Oh.
I guess it was going to mean whatever it meant to each of us.
Yeah. But now I have a little tree.
Yeah. And he shows his medallion. He's like, I got my family crest here.
I like it.
Thanks. It's made from a meteorite, apparently.
Oh, cool.
I thought it was the most impressive and rare of materials.
And she looks around for a minute. Probably.
He doesn't know because, like, we're still kind of awkward with each other. He doesn't know if she picked up on him trying to, like, I don't think simile is the right word, but he was basically trying to refer to himself without referring to himself.
Right, okay.
But she doesn't really seem to have picked up on it. He says, we should probably head back. We got a big day tomorrow, I guess, or whenever that last challenge is.
Yeah.
I know I could use some sleep.
Yeah,
and he, like, pauses for a second because he just realizes he said that out loud, and then...
She doesn't seem to notice.
Yeah.
I think I go over to Eddie.
Okay.
Hey!
Oh, hey. Yours go okay?
Yeah, I talked to some king or something. I don't know. And maybe an ancestor or something.
Cool. And you see he is tying some feathers onto his chest piece with a red ribbon.
Okay. And she says, did you talk to somebody?
Yeah, it didn't seem to like me much, so.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I don't know if mine liked me or not. It was all really confusing.
Yeah. I don't think I made a good impression, but it's over.
And she kind of stares at you for a second because it's clear she wants to say something about vampires but doesn't want to offend you, and then just decides to change her mind, and she holds up her little tree and says, look, I made a tree.
That's nice.
What did you make?
A chess piece. I like chess. Oh. But it's, you know, just added some other stuff.
Oh, are the feathers for Bella?
Yeah, they're like goose feathers.
Oh, I like it. Are you gonna, like, give it to her or something? I don't know if are we supposed to keep these?
I think we're supposed to keep them.
I'm sorry, are you asking me or character?
The character.
Okay.
Well, I guess you have to keep it. All right, I guess we're good. Let's go to bed. Let's get to this last thing.
All right, so at the end of this, the builder leads you all back to the main pavilion and leaves you to make your way back to your cabin. I'm going to jump ahead slightly because this was the night of the second challenge. You all wake up on the morning of that Friday. And this is, you hear the voice once again. It's Friday, campers. That is the last challenge day, a challenge.
You've just dredged a song out of my brain that I don't like. It's Friday.
Please don't do
gotta
that.
Get down
don't,
Friday.
Don't.
My summer camp when I was a kid, when I was a teenager working in a summer camp, every Friday for breakfast they would play that stupid song.
It's so annoying.
And because I was support staff and I didn't have to stay around to listen to it, I would try to finish my breakfast so I could escape before having to listen to it again.
That's funny.
You hear he says, "Today will be the last challenge day and the closing ceremony, the awarding of the Golden Raven. But before that, we must pass the final challenge put to us by our very own Willow Masters, head of the Mournhollow Cabin. So, everyone, get to breakfast, and then, once you meet with her, she will lead you, because this will be, rather more involved, I believe, than the other ones. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But anyway, you don't want to waste time. We're going to cut to breakfast. Everyone there is talking about the previous except the your cabin amongst yourselves can be talking about the totems, perhaps. But of course, you were told at the end of it, you know, don't go blabbing this around. This is a big deal. Don't tell the others. It's your own thing. So you see at the front, standing up there is Willow Masters, who is the head of the Mournhollow Cabin. And once breakfast is complete, she gestures. She gestures oddly to, well, actually, she gestures all of you, but so you all form up in lines, all three cabins, and she leads you, and the others are following. And she leads you once again into the forest. She leads you to this, what appears to be a sheer rock face, but then looking at it more closely, you see that there is a there seems to be a cave entrance in this rock face. And she turns to you all. She says, "This is something that I've been considering for a fair while now, and this will be, well, not everybody at once. It will be cabin by cabin first. Your objective is to pass through and reach the exit. That is all. All you have to do is make it through to the other side, and for every cabin member that crosses, you will be awarded 2 tokens. Well, go on, don't keep everyone waiting, go on." She gestures, and she steps out of the way to allow any one of you to step forward.
I have a quick thing that I forgot to say before we went to breakfast.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, I would have checked my dragon pocket to see if I have all of our tokens or not.
Yes, you do have them.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I think we should let another cabin go first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Although, what if the bold ones get extra tokens or an advantage? I think generally Mal has... I'm thinking about it some more. I think Mal has generally been kind of an observer. He doesn't... he's not too brash, even though he is bold. So I think he probably would wait for another cabin to go first.
All right.
He's pretty calculating.
Yeah, he's pretty calculated, yeah.
All right.
He's not a loose cannon.
You see that Mournhollow actually steps up, which would include your girlfriend, Eddie. And they step through. And there's... For the first little bit, you hear them echoing through the cave, but then it fades away into nothing. They've been gone for about 10 or 15 minutes.
I don't think we would wait that long.
Or however
unless
long,
they didn't allow us
I
to go.
I think we have to wait
until
they come out.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's...
They said one cabin at a time.
Yeah, it's not a, okay, it's not like mind. Everyone okay. Crowd in together. No, it's...
Gotcha, okay. I missed that part.
After about, I'll say 10 minutes, Willow gestures to the next one of you, either yourself or either Silvertooth or Greenheart. Do you allow Greenheart to go ahead of you, or do you go ahead?
Well, you said that the other ones came out.
You saw them enter, but the like you can't see the exit from where you are. The exit is on the
right.
Other
we
side.
We don't know
you
where the
to...
exit is. So, yeah.
Well, if we're not going to be able to learn anything from it, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, so you guys enter, and for the first few minutes, you're hearing a group, all of you walking there together, and you are all fairly close together. This is a rather narrow, not claustrophobically narrow, but narrow. And as you continue, all of you start to feel a bit drowsy. And it's not that you fall asleep, but as you continue, you could have sworn you were all...
I can't sleep.
I know you can't. It's not like you're actually falling asleep. Whatever the equivalent to a vampire being drowsy is.
Maybe feeling like light on blood. You know you haven't fed in a while.
Lightheaded,
maybe.
I need...
Feel drowsy. Or he can feel drowsy.
Whatever the case. But then the next thing that you're aware of, it's very odd. It's not like all of a sudden you're... It's a very subtle thing. But the next thing that you're aware of is that each one of you looks around and you're opening your eyes and all of a sudden there's a bright... this bright light, and you step through into what appears to be a secondary room. And in each one of these rooms, I will ask each one of you, I will start with Mal. Mal, you said that in your questions, you said that your biggest monster ambition was that you were to gain your title, and then also that your agenda would be to be the king of this whole place, right?
Yeah, basically I wanted to kind of like be like, not literally king of the camp, but I wanted everybody to kind of respect me as, you know, the most impressive or something.
What is it that you believe Mal fears the very most?
That Mal fears the very most?
Yes.
Not being remembered. He wants to make his mark on kind of the monster community and like being a well-regarded, you know, fearsome dragon.
As you have this thought that you would wish to be remembered, as you become aware of your surroundings, you're standing in this room. There's a seemingly a light source coming from somewhere. You can't tell, but in front of you is standing your own father, and he looks at you and he says, "You are a disappointment, my son. You have disgraced our family name." What does Mal do in this moment?
I think Mal, he knows that this is a challenge, right? So he knows that this can't actually be his dad. Okay.
In this moment, you do not, like, you were unaware of this, but then you came back to yourself, I should say. There was a sort of a transition moment, an odd moment.
Okay.
And as you're looking at him and hearing him, this you believe this is 100% real. You're not sure how, but your brain is telling you this is your father standing right here and telling you this.
But we know we were at camp and stuff.
Like, I think what he's saying is like, right? we awoke in like a different state, so to speak. If we didn't fall asleep, like we're being affected by whatever this cave is. I think so. Mal, he hears his father saying this and he thinks it's real, and he just he gets angry and he just says, "We both know that ain't true. I'll prove it to you right now, old man." And he transforms into a dragon and goes to attack his father.
in this moment, he shifts as well into this much, much larger than you scarred over his body. Yeah, roll to lash out physically.
Oh, is that one I'm even good at? I don't know if I'm good at that one. Which is weird for a dragon. Volatile. That is a zero for me, so it is a straight roll. That is an 11 on the dice.
Whoa, okay. With that full success, I am gonna say that you kick or you punch or you do whatever as a dragon. You bite at him, and immediately you're getting the sense. It's like you're hitting Jell-O. It's like it's not solid, and in this moment with this is mainly because of that full success roll, is you see these black fissures and cracks begin to come across him, and you just he pulls in a deep breath and he says, "You will never be greater than me," and all of a sudden, boom, he snaps, shatters, and around you this whole, the air seems to break, and then there you are standing alone, just in this cave tunnel. But wow. you have officially broken out of it. But I will say that as you continue on, you hear sounds in front of you of someone else, and you kind of pick up your pace, and you see there coming up in the cave. You see, at first you're not sure, but as you get closer, you see there is Levi, who is just sitting on the floor and sort of stock still, staring at nothing. And you just hear him going, "It's not true. It's not true, not true." What do you do in this moment?
Oh, okay. So Mal
He's
is
on our team. Don't mess with
him. No, I know. So Mal's like, okay, like numbers. We need all the numbers we can get. I hate this guy's guts. And he's just like, whatever they're saying to you, you wouldn't be a worthy opponent of mine if you weren't worth nothing. So don't listen to him.
You see one of his eyes starts to like slide over. He's trying to maybe watch you. He's maybe aware of you, maybe not. I will need you to... What are you trying to... You're trying to shake him out of this, but how are you doing that?
I'm basically just by trying to shake him out of it, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm just basically trying to, like... I mean, he would try just speaking first, but if he's not getting much of a reaction, he'll, like, shake him and, like, continue to, you know, give him some kind of slighted encouragement, but still generally encouragement.
You could just carry him across. We get points.
That's true,
if
yeah.
He's still
Mal plans right. to do that if he can't just wake him up on his own first.
You reach out to shake him. You're getting no response whatsoever. He is deep inside of whatever this is.
Okay.
Shouting at him not help?
Yeah, did me, like, speaking to him not seem to get a response?
All you saw was the slight eye twitch, so he might hear you, he might not, but you're not sure.
I'm telling you to snap out of it, Levi. You can't even get out of that. You can't beat me. You know that.
In this moment, you see, like, very unexpectedly, you see his head suddenly turn. He just takes a swing at you.
I'll duck, you know, and dodge it.
And in this moment, you duck. He totally misses, but in the action of the swing, he overbalances himself, and he hits his head rather hard on the ground, and he just, all of a sudden, What happened? What are you doing here?
Just saving your sorry ass.
Ugh.
He puts out a hand to, like, pick him up, you know, help him to his feet.
This doesn't mean we're friends, you got it?
I would expect nothing less.
Good. I never speak of this again. Got it. But he will take your arm, and you two, you manage to make it out. I will now move to, I will say Ivy. Ivy, the same thing has happened to you. And in this moment, what do you believe Ivy fears the most?
Being alone.
I know someone who can help with that.
I think, unlike Mal, you enter this same sort of odd space. But instead of seeing anyone there with you, all you are hearing are these voices voices that sound like they sound like people you know. They're sounding like Eddie. They're sounding like even Mal himself. They're sounding like your father, saying things like, "Oh, Ivy, dear, unsure Ivy, you will never find someone. You will never have someone to share your life with, your joys, your fears, your trials, your triumphs. You will never be with anyone. You will always be alone." And it's this mournful echoing that's happening here.
Alone.
With
alone.
The echo, yes, of course. Lots and lots of echo.
It's a SpongeBob reference.
How does Ivy react to hearing this?
Do I see Mal? Can I see Mal?
Initially, you're not seeing a physical full manifestation, but you are seeing there's sort of an odd white light in this space, and you're seeing sort of the kind of an insubstantial, wispy version, like ghostly-ish versions of these different people, including Mal himself. Yes,
I walk over to him. I'm kind of shy looking, but I've kind of got my hands like wrapped kind of behind my back, and I'm holding onto my arm behind my back, and I say, I know you don't mean that.
He says, "You don't know what I mean. I never tell you what I really mean, because, well, wouldn't want you crying to your daddy, now would we,
No, no. But, I think I can find a way to figure it out, and I'm gonna kiss him."
Whoa!
Oh, boy.
Okay, all right. So you're gonna, I suppose this would be a
hot
or yes with a hot roll to turn someone on, I suppose, even though it's a possibly insubstantial apparition, but go on.
11.
Whoa,
nice.
Okay. So apparently not even manufactured insubstantial mouths are immune to the power of Ivy, and in this moment you just bring him right in, and you break away, and you look at him, and you see color sort of starting to bleed as if from you into him, and even especially at his face, he's getting very red, which is odd considering he's an apparition, apparently. And he just looks at you and smiles suddenly and says, "You know, the real me would be one lucky guy." Whoosh. Gone. Poof.
Nice.
And
I smile.
You have officially beaten your challenge. Bravo. I will say that you pass again without any incident. And now I will move on to Eddie. Eddie, you find yourself in this weird limbo-ish sort of space, this cavern. What is it that Eddie fears more than anything?
losing the people that he loves.
In this moment, you see Bella walking into the light. And this does not look like an apparition to you. This looks like a flesh and blood Bella. And she approaches you very sweetly. She's looking up at you with the most beautiful eyes. And she says, I want to break up. It's not working between you and me. I mean, being what you are and what I am, you would go on, and I don't. And like mournfully in the background, there's honking from her goose heads.
You know, that's not true. We don't talk like that.
I don't tell you these things because I'm afraid. I'm afraid what you could do if I ever told you this, but it is what I mean. I never want to see you again. Ever. And she turns away from you, like arms crossed, just standing there with her back towards you.
This is just totally opposite of everything that she's ever said to him ever.
I mean, but keep in mind, I did like I told Andrew, you believe this is real in this moment.
I understand that he believes it's real, but it's so out of character for her that I feel like...
Okay, so then what do you...
It would snap him out of it.
No, you're gonna have to give me something better than that. What do you do?
How do you test that assumption?
I could use my cold as ice move to try to shut someone down and basically tell her this isn't her talking and I know it's not actually her.
Okay, you want to try to shut someone down. All right, roll it then.
I got a 7.
Woo, all right.
When I roll a 7 or higher, I get to choose an extra option from the shut someone down list, if that even applies.
Oh, nice. So even though you're on a mixed success, it's still better than...
Yeah.
That's good.
Is there anything that applies to this situation?
I mean, I'm guessing it's not really because it's just kind of the...
Yeah, that's true.
...challenge.
Yeah. You realize that you're right. This is sounding very much not like her, but even in this moment, she turns to you again, and she just says, "What can I do to show you it's not real? And she's becoming angry.
"You're already showing me it's not real. This isn't you. I know this isn't you.
I want you to roll me a manipulate an NPC.
Okay, what stat is that?
This is a hot stat.
Okay. Another 7.
There's a moment of sort of uncertainty behind her, and she sort of flickers a moment, which might infer some things. But yeah, especially with this hearing what is complete opposite, according to you. And with that, I will say that she just looks at you and says, "Counselor, thought she had done a good job, but I suppose... when the love is real, not even her magic can beat it." He's expecting a response.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
The whatever entity this is basically said, like, if the love is real, it can't break through it.
I mean, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You can keep silent.
He said he was expecting a response. So.
Well, I mean, expecting doesn't mean you have to. She waits there for you for a moment, but if you don't speak, she just says, "You don't let her get away, all right?" You have beaten it. You have realized that this is not true. In this moment, you are able to break out. You continue on, but before you exit, you come across somebody there as well. Surprise, surprise. You come across Mr. Jake White, but he's standing there. He's like staring at a wall as if there's something there. Do you do anything in this moment?
He's not an Arcabin.
He's not an Arcabin.
He is not. Nope.
I'm gonna snap my fingers in front of his face just to see if he does anything.
No reaction whatsoever.
Okay, I leave him.
Okay, you leave
him. Bye.
You leave him. You got it.
Nice.
So, cutting ahead here, I will say that all three of you managed to exit, which means each one of you will gain 2 tokens each. You managed to pull Levi out, which means you get 2 more. So right now, you are sitting at 8 for the 4 of you.
Okay.
You see that the other cabins have had Mournhollow managed to pull 2 out, and that Greenheart has managed to pull 3 out.
I think Mal is just looking around, and he's just waiting to see if more people make their way out or not. But right now, it looks like we have the advantage.
After a while, the counselor is there at the end, She's head counting everyone. She says, "Oh, well, didn't get as many of you as I thought I might, but, well, I suppose I should rescue those still inside." She disappears inside, and after a while she comes out leading a trail of rather confused-looking campers. And unless you guys want to do anything in this moment, I will move to our endgame.
I think Mal has something he wants. Is like, do we know when the presentation of like the Golden Ravens are going to be?
It's going to be, this was in the morning. This was right after breakfast. This is done with. So you have between now and then, I will say about hour and a half. It's going to be like an afternoon thing when the presentation happens.
Do you want to save our like big like scene, you know, kind of final emotional scene for afterwards?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think we're good.
Okay. And you, Hannah?
I don't have anything.
Okay. So as this concludes, I'm going to jump to later on that afternoon where all the cabins are gathered, all the counselors are there. This is that Friday, and you see that Counselor Geist is standing there under the pavilion, just like he was at the beginning. And he says, "Congratulations to all campers this week. It was quite a quite an area for challenge this week. Quite the challenges set up by everyone here. Bravo to everyone. However, there is one cabin that performed above and beyond in many ways, I am sure. And, well, in order to figure that out, we must present tokens. Everyone, come forward. Bring your tokens now. Bring your tokens."
Then Mal will step forward for the Silvertooth cabin to present our 23 tokens.
You drop your 23. Lashka comes up. She drops the her 12 because they had two people out. And then also Greenheart approaches and drops their tokens, which total 18 tokens. The counselors, they all smile and look around. It's like they're kind of arguing amongst each other. Like, it's like, "See, I told you my challenge is the best. No, my challenge is the best. Counselors, now. We must not forget the presentation of the award now, can we? Now, one of you, whoever wants it, go find it. Go, and bring the others quickly. And your own counselor steps off for a moment. In this moment, you see that the builder also has approached from the tree line and steps up there with the counselors. From behind the pavilion as well, you all three see a very tall, rather thin man step out. He's dressed in a very nice suit and tie. His hair is slicked. He's got spectacles on. He joins the counselors as well. You've never seen this guy before. You're not sure who he is, and he. The head counselor says, "So, I've been watching throughout this week, and there are three that I believe from this winning cabin of ours, Silvertooth. Bravo, Harrison, you have amazing campers this year." It's like, "Oh, thank you. The head counselor points to each one of you three, says, "Mal, Eddie, Ivy, come here." As you all approach, he says, "Everyone knows that the Golden Raven is quite the honor, but there is one particular element that we don't happen to share around with everyone, only because it is, well, not exactly a secret, but certain people would prefer to avoid celebrity status. But there's a little thing extra that we like to plan every year for certain select members. Now, if I might introduce them," and he gestures to the counselors up there with him, but the two that step forward are the builder and the guy in the suit. You see the builder, she removes a mask, and you see this, it's a very odd, it's like a patchworked face. She's got metalwork in her neck and through her face somewhat. And then approaching from behind her is the tall, thin guy. He looks at her. "Quite the promising candidates, wouldn't you say, my dear?" She looks at you three. "Oh yes, yes indeed. We will have our work cut out for us, but I believe we might be able to bring them into their own, make them strong, capable, face the world." They look around suddenly. "But where is he? He's supposed to be here. Where is he? He can't miss this."
Missing Poe.
And they call out as if to the air, "Where are you, you lazy idiot?" And all of a sudden there's this rushing of wind, And overhead you see Nevermore the Raven flying. And for once he only does say one word. Nevermore. Up out of, seemingly out of the ground itself, there is this apparition, this ghostly form of a very tired looking mustached man who somehow is able to interact with the ground he seems to be quote unquote standing on. And he steps up. Oh, you all do know I hate the administrative things. It's hard enough watching over this whole mess. You know it's all your fault. You know, you didn't tell me. You never told me what you were. That night, when you were creating those stories and such, you didn't tell me. I didn't believe it was real, and then here I go. I die, and I turn into this. Although I suppose if I hadn't, I wouldn't have exactly founded this place. Now had I? And it's like, oh, come on, get up here. You, all three of you, come. And you guys, you three, immediately recognize. In some cases, it's a little odd, but, you know, based on historical historical photos and everything.
Edgar Allan Poe.
And Edgar Allan Poe. You've got it. Harrison returns, and he's holding what appears to be a very heavy object with a red cloth draped over it. He presents it to the two of them. Bram and Mary, they're both holding one side of this. It's rather heavy. And they gesture for you three. Like, do you three care to do the honors?
Sure.
Yeah. Of course.
You whip the cloth off, and it is this fairly large but manageable large trophy of a golden raven with it's got sapphires in its eyes. Its beak is open as if it's calling out. Counselor Geist is up there and he says, well, it's been quite the week for everyone. Now, don't forget tomorrow, everyone. Tomorrow, your family and friends will be arriving, and I'm sure you'll have many, many stories to tell of your time here. Don't forget what you have learned here, the lessons you have learned, the friends you have made, and, well, some of you we will see in the future, I'm sure, but for this particular group here, this will be the last we see of you, and I will say, go out there, be who you're meant to be. Scare the pants off many as people as you can. And everyone sort of breaks out into cheers. And in this moment, as we're sort of pulling out before it closes down, what, if anything, do you three want to do as far as interactions among each other or interactions with any NPCs?
I want to find Mal before we leave, of course.
And I think Mal was trying to do the same thing.
So I think maybe we kind of bump into each other.
Yeah, maybe we bump into each other on accident on the way back to our cabin to pack up.
Oh, hey, I was looking for you.
Yeah, I wanted to give you something.
Oh?
Yeah, we should probably go somewhere more private, though.
Okay, I follow him somewhere more private.
Into the woods somewhere.
Sure.
Okay.
And Mal's just kind of looking around for a moment, just kind of being quiet. And then he says, guess we'll be heading back to our homes after this, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's something that I don't really show anybody, really, but I wanted to give you something, you know, to remember me by when we're apart, but we should always, you know, we should exchange phone numbers finally, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely.
And he smiles and he says, I think you're special, Ivy, and I hope you know that.
Oh. I smile a little.
And I wanted to give you anything you want out of my hoard.
Your hoard?
Yeah, my dragon hoard.
And I kind of smile at you, and I think I just kind of smile and I say, there's only one thing I want, but it's not in your hoard.
Oh, I mean, you don't even want to look?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you want?
I'm going to get up on my tiptoes and I'm going to kiss him on the cheek.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
I think Mal's going to like let her do that. And he blushes for once.
Hey.
And he looks at her and then he goes in to kiss her on the lips and she can pull back if she wants.
No, I'll kiss you.
So. Okay.
No,
okay.
I'll totally kiss you.
Okay. You're going, way.
He'll pull out of it. Yeah.
You're
he'll
going
pull
in
out
on
of
it.
And after they're done. And he'll
all right.
Be,
that's all I wanted.
Yeah, just one thing. Mal just says, I guess that's better than giving you one of my silly old things.
I smile, because it is.
I was going to use my move I hadn't used yet, but
oh well,
it didn't matter.
Susanna, you don't have to play into this if you don't want to, but as we fade, your magical pocket mirror begins chiming or trilling or whatever, but will fade out from that. I wonder what he has to speak to you about, but, well...
I don't know. He's kind of a buzzkill.
Just in this moment it rings, and I'll probably tell you about that in the debrief. I had an idea, but I want to go over to Eddie here.
I don't think Ivy is thinking about it
No,
right
it's
now.
Not. Your phone rings, but you're...
I'm ignoring it.
You're completely ignoring it. Still over at the pavilion with all the cabins gathered there. Eddie, what do you do?
I'm just gonna go find Bella. I don't really have anything that I want to do. I just want to be with Bella, so...
Okay. You find her there. You can probably follow the sounds of her honking. And she finds you there, and I don't think she might not have even seen you, at least able to talk since the last challenge. And she throws her arms around you, and she's like, "Oh, Eddie, that last one was, oh, a bit scary, wasn't it? I mean, I saw terrible things. What did you see? Was it awful?"
"Yes, it was awful, but we made it out. That's what matters."
And she looks at you, and she says, "I wonder what sort of a secret training or whatever it would be you might be going on with, well, celebrities."
"Yeah, we'll see, I guess."
And she looks at you with the most, like, adoring eyes, and she's like, "Well, I want to hear all about it when you return, and of course, you know, you need to write me every week and call me and everything, right?"
"Of course."
I think you see Jake White in the background seeing this moment, and he's just scowling at you, but I assume you don't respond at all.
"No, I just ignore him."
Okay, and in this moment with Ivy and Mal having their moment in the woods, and Bella and Eddie celebrating being back together after being separated for all of like an hour, but you know, must have felt like forever. You all pack up that day, and the following day, your family members and parents arrive to bring you all home. And with that, I believe we will close down at Camp Lenore. Until next time, congratulations, everybody, you've made it.
All right.
Yay.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, thank you everyone for joining us. This has been fun playing Silly Teenagers. And we will see you in the next 2 weeks for the debrief. And then after that, we will be starting our next show, which is The Between Ghosts of El Paso. Mm. And we are really looking forward to showing that one to y'all. So until then, goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.